KGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. Week's kind of moving right along.
It really is.
Right?
Fast week.
Yeah. Agreed.
I agree.
Just a baby.
I didn't even mean it that way. Maybe I am just a baby. Dave Hines likes your shirt. What is it?
It's R2-D2 and it says metalhead on top.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. Lots of cool colors.
Speaking of shirts, you missed this one, Rach. When we were going in to eat lunch, as we do most days in the office where Wheels and Andrew sit, and I came walking in and I missed the first part of the conversation, but Wheels was complimenting Andrew's shirt, and Andrew said, "Oh, I got it at the Fat Guy store." But he was
I think he said his favorite Fat Guy store.
But he was holding a thing of mac and cheese. Mm-hmm. And for a couple seconds,
for lunch.
I really thought he meant he got the mac and cheese at the Fat Guy store. Mm-hmm. And then we started riffing, like, it kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Like, if at the front, instead of having, like, mints
and
stuff. Yeah,
instead of mints, they had bowls of mac and cheese.
Bowls of mac and cheese.
Take one on your way out.
If you have one, leave one.
Yeah.
Need one, take one.
Chicken wings like lollipops at the bank. Just a bowl full of them when you're shopping. Sticking out the top.
That was funny. It's a good shirt, though.
Yeah.
Did you buy it for yourself or present?
Sort of present.
Okay.
I was gifted a gift card by my wife.
All right.
To the Fat Guy clothing store.
Okay.
Where I went. It's a great store. Huge fan.
Which one is it?
DXL.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Good quality stuff.
Nice. Very nice. So, big story today is happening in Minneapolis right now. You probably heard about it. I think we carried the news conference about an hour ago. A woman's been shot and killed by ICE, and it's online. You can watch the video, and I predict this is going to be sort of a Michael Brown, George Floyd Rorschach test. Have you seen it yet, Wheels?
Not the video yet, no.
Yeah, you can watch it yourself, but for those of you driving around, what I understand is ICE was set up on a street, just looks like a suburban street everyone lives on, and this lady was in a minivan. And she was trying to leave the area. She didn't drive. She backed up so as to get a better angle to leave. And then she drives away at a normal rate of speed. And as she's driving away, you hear gunshots. And then she crashes into a vehicle. And evidently she was shot in the head. Then you hear people, protesters, yelling, "What the F? What the F?" And so I know that cops, because I know cops, are very careful about vehicles, that you cannot try to pull away from a traffic stop, especially if there's a cop right in front of you. Then you're trying to kill them with your car. You're using it as a weapon, and they will fire into your car, and they will kill you. I know that. This didn't look like that. Now, I'm always going to err on the side of law enforcement. Protect yourself. And if you think someone's trying to kill you, you have to do what you need to do. But this one doesn't look great. Rach, what did you think? You watched it with me.
Yeah, I mean, so we have conflicting reports. ICE says she was trying to kill them by running them over. Eyewitnesses are saying, no, she was backing up and trying to leave. Me viewing that video just as a citizen, I did not see it as, oh my gosh, I hope that officer gets out of the way because she's about to kill some people.
Yeah, nor did I.
It did not come across like that to me at all from the video that I viewed. Maybe more videos will come out and we'll have some more information. Yeah. I was looking up, you know, I was trying to figure out, like, do ICE officers, do they wear body cameras? Well, they're supposed to, but apparently in Minnesota, they don't have the budget for all of these officers to be wearing body cams. So maybe in other states, we would have had a very clear view of what was going on, but it's unlikely that that these officers were wearing body cams.
Yeah. And let's be clear, too, according to the reports that are out there now, the woman was a U.S. citizen. So why is ICE trying to stop slash detain a U.S. citizen? The problem with the way they're doing this whole thing is that they're not doing the due process part. It's arrest first, ask questions later.
It really
it's supposed
is.
To be the opposite.
Yeah.
You are supposed to have probable cause that is legitimately based on evidence and or testimony. And we got to stop picking up U.S. citizens just off the street with no warrants.
I totally agree. I do want to clarify, though, I don't know that this woman was being detained or being arrested. ICE is describing the situation as we were conducting targeted operations and these rioters, she's referred to as a rioter. The rioters were blocking officers.
Yeah, I mean, the video is very short. The video doesn't show any blocking of officers because there's plenty of room on the street either side to go around. And in fact, one car does go around in the video that you can see. Yeah, not great.
No. Like Austin said, it just seemed like a matter of time until this was going to happen. So, yeah. I know the mayor of Minneapolis told ICE to get the F out. So we'll see how this goes. Since we're kind of talking politics, can we go back to Venezuela for a minute? And a real question. I'm looking for answers here, not just rhetorical. Let's assume for the moment that let's set the Maduro thing aside. And assume for the moment that Attorney Brad Young was correct, and under the Noriega rules, we have the right to go in and snatch Noriega and his wife because they were wanted in the United States. Let's just assume that. What right do we have to do anything else we're doing? Other than the Stephen Miller doctrine, which is we're the biggest, toughest guy on the block, therefore we get to make the rules and no one's going to stop us. Other than that, what is it? I don't understand how, hey, this is a bad guy who happens to be the sitting president, but we're going to go arrest you because you're wanted in the United States. Okay. We grab him. We bring him back. He's arraigned in court. He's going to have a trial. I don't understand one thing after that. What allows us to go in and do anything? You know, they have a government. They named the VP the new president. They had an election in 2024 where this lady got 70% of the vote. She could come back. They could have another election. I don't understand at all what some sort of manifest destiny thing that we get to just go in and say, we're in charge. Here's what you're going to do with the oil. We're going to bring in a bunch of American companies, whether you like it or not.
All of that while you have an armada just off their coast.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's very Gulf War, right? It's very, you know, late 80s, early 2000s era, like world police type stuff, right? It's very like, we don't like the look of you, so we are going to come and make decisions for you.
Yeah.
But it is, I think, largely whatever excuses they're giving, it's just the oil.
I just don't think...
Just like the Gulf War. It's just the oil. They just want the oil.
I don't think people are pushing back hard enough inside our country or outside our country.
Yeah.
I don't think we should normalize any country just going in and taking over another country, whether it's temporary or it's permanent, by force and threat of force. And in this case, it's actual force. I don't get it.
Yeah, it does beg the question, what is the huge difference, you know, outside of maybe the way it's being done, what's the huge difference between this and, like, you know, Russia annexing Crimea or Ukraine or any of those places?
And while we're at Dave's confused about Greenland. I don't understand how it's okay to even talk about it. Like, this... Greenland, as I understand it, is not a NATO country, but because they're under Denmark, by association, it's covered by NATO. And Denmark definitely is. They're a founding member, 70 years plus, whatever it is now. And the NATO rule, as we all know, is an attack on one is attack on all. We are openly discussing the United States of America, the leader of NATO, de facto, talking about attacking or invading a fellow NATO country. And as the PM, I guess, of Denmark pointed out yesterday, if that happened, it would be the end of everything. It would be the complete end of NATO.
Yeah.
And so I can't take Wheeler's car from him And it would be creepy if I even talked about it, like in a real way.
Yeah. Right. Like, hey, we're going to take that car.
Yeah. If I said, like, wow, I really like that Camaro.
You're going to give it to me?
Yeah. Why don't you sell it to me? I like my Camaro. I don't want to sell it.
Maybe I'll just take it.
Well, I guess I can just take it.
I can just take it. I can just take it while you're on the air. I can just go into your car.
How cool do you think Wheeler would be with me if I did that?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. So have we just become the world's bully at this point?
I mean,
we got rid of USAID, so we're not really helping the world much.
No, mm-hmm. No. When you listen to the explanations, and again, a lot of it's from Stephen Miller, who is, I mean, for lack of a better term, he's just a bad guy with bad ideas and illogical, stupid ideas that only fit if your purpose is we are just trying to be the biggest badass on the block, which we already are. Like, you know, and the biggest badass on the block shouldn't have to go around flexing. You know, if you are that, people know it. You don't need to be telling people or showing people or whatever. But it shows you what people like him and in this administration are. They are not that guy. So they act out and they feel like this makes them that for whatever reason. That's how I read it. But the idea about, like, you know, he's floating it. It's not just for minerals. It's for national security. But how is Greenland any part of our national security? Because Greenland's not going to attack us. If anybody tries to cross Greenland to get to us, we're going to know it because it's this vast area. It's not like it's 1940 where you have to cross land and you have to come. I mean, nobody's attacking us through Greenland. How is it of strategic defensive importance? The fact that it just exists there as a buffer is the defensive part of it.
Well, it's not. It's just like how Venezuela is not a legitimate threat to our national security, nor was any of the stuff that was going on in the Gulf. It's about oil. It's only about oil. They can say whatever they want, but they're just trying to get and control the flow of oil.
I mean, I think you're right. I would go a step further. I think it's just about power.
Yeah.
It's about flexing your power and getting what you want because you want it.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, basically how the business world works, right? Like, this is how CEOs go. If they don't get what they want, they find a way to get it. Well, this is what happens when you have that mindset running the country.
And you know what?
It's a hostile takeover is what it is.
I'm totally fine, I guess, with purchasing Greenland. We purchased a lot of things.
If you offer and they accept, fine.
Fine.
Yeah.
If you think it's strategic or you think it has rare earth minerals or whatever it is, and you can give them, hell, what's a country cost these days? $100 billion?
Yeah.
A half a trillion? I have no idea. It's not the Louisiana Purchase, I'll tell you that.
Right. You're not going to get it for beads.
But if we could purchase it, fine. But any talk at all about taking over a NATO-associated country is just not okay. Yeah. It's just not okay. I don't want to be that country. I don't want to be that guy.
Well, no. And because for people that are not agreeing with us, the reason you don't want to be that guy is twofold. One, because it's not right, because we wouldn't want anybody to treat us that way. Therefore, we shouldn't treat anyone else like that, right? I mean, that's kind of the golden rule. The other part of it, though, is these things always create future problems. Our intervention in Iran in the 1950s led directly to massive problems for our country. That is the root of what led to the first hostage problem in Iran, right? It's also a big part of why 9/11 happened. The things that we do will have future ramifications. They may not always be attacks against us or military. Might be financial. Might be the breakdown in support from other nations. You know, maybe the breakdown of you know, relationships with longtime allies. That, you know, those relationships and having allies to begin with is what keeps things safe. When you get people working together with the same interests, doing these kinds of things long term will always have blowback that you don't think is going to happen.
Welcome back, DGS. And now for the segment where we fight with people on the stream. Time to fight with Christian Earl. Christian, don't say things like educate yourself. I'm just asking that as a favor. I hate that. I hate when people do that. It's so snarky and bull-essy.
Well, it's also like, read what I read is what it says.
Yeah.
It doesn't say learn about the reality of it. It's read what I read so you'll agree with me.
And saying that we're not talking about rolling into Greenland. Yeah, we are. Yeah, I mean, we are. When asked, they didn't say rolling, but they said that a military option is on the table.
When directly asked if you're talking about using the military, the response has been not ruling it out.
Which
means it's a threat.
And which it should be. That's my point.
It should be ruled out.
It should be ruled
out. Yes, absolutely.
Military action against a fellow NATO country should not be on the table.
Yes, against a nation that we have no beef with.
Especially when you just want their land.
Right.
They didn't do anything to us.
Right.
We're not threatening like, hey, you better stop that.
Exactly.
We just want what you have.
Yes.
And military options are on the table.
Yes.
Trump says it. Carolyn Leavitt says it. That's good enough
Miller,
for me.
Miller was asked it directly, and he wouldn't say no, which is making the threat. Now, they're not saying we have plans to go do it right now. That's not what they're saying. But just simply leaving that on the table is the mistake and the problem and what's wrong. That is an ally nation, Denmark. You don't threaten your allies. And you certainly don't threaten them with force of the greatest military force on Earth for no reason.
And we'll to Earl's point that... if we didn't go to Venezuela, China and Russia would have a stronger toehold.
Then you have to outmaneuver them. Every sovereign nation on Earth is allowed to do business with whatever other nations they want to. So if that's the case, then we need to make it more attractive to work with us than to work with them. That was what the Cold War was. How did all of the conflicts in the Cold War go? Did we get any real good resolution on Korea in the 1950s? How'd Vietnam go for us? How did Afghanistan go for Russia? How did all the Cold War nonsense work out for everyone involved? Not well. How did our incursion into Afghanistan go? How many trillions of dollars and how many thousands of lives did it cost? And at least there we had a justification to go in because they were protecting the people that attacked us on 9/11. How did Iraq go? How did that whole thing go? We have seen over and over and over again for 70 or 80 years that this type of intervention doesn't do anything good for you.
What's up, Rory? Says, oh man, I thought I was listening to The View. Had to get on and see. I'll tell you what, Rory, if not wanting to threaten a fellow NATO country with military action or simply take over another country and its resources makes me liberal, then I guess I'm liberal. What does it make you? The fact that you're okay with that. You're okay with invading another country by military force and just occupying it. And you're totally fine with threatening a NATO ally with military force to take it. What does that make you?
Yeah. Define yourself. That's not a very conservative principle, I can tell you that.
Welcome back, DGS-133. Wheels, you want to keep fighting with listeners? You want to move on?
I mean, I'm all right with doing whatever. I mean,
you kind of shut the one guy up.
Well, you're saying this. There's a commenter on there saying that we're making stuff up. What? Everything that I said and everything that you said has been on camera. It's been Stephen Miller on camera. Been Donald Trump on camera. You know, this is not like secret stuff. This isn't like unnamed sources. And even if it is, that can still mean legitimate reporting. And I put out an offer. Hey, feel free to send us the links showing which facts that we've pointed out there are wrong. You can disagree with our opinions. That's fine. That's a different animal. But then justify your opinion. Don't just say, you guys are stupid. Explain to me why it's okay.
That's a good point. Because I very specifically said to Earl that I'm not saying that Trump or Leavitt said something that they didn't.
Right.
They said the military option to take Greenland is on the table.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I'm basing it on. I'm not embellishing. I'm not putting words in their mouth.
No.
The sitting president of the United States, the de facto leader of NATO, should never say that the military option is on the table to take a NATO country's property.
Yeah.
End of sentence.
I mean, the exact quote is, I'm not taking it off the table. mean, that was said on camera. I don't understand why this is complicated.
Carolyn Leavitt also said in a statement, utilizing the U.S. military is always an option.
So there you go.
Yeah, the exact Donald Trump quote on that with military force used in Greenland was, quote, I don't rule it out.
So that being, those being the facts, why is it okay with you? I'm very interested.
Sure, explain it.
Why is it okay to threaten a fellow NATO country with military force to take its stuff, to take its literal land? Why is that okay? You're accusing us of being the View and making stuff up. Well, why is it okay with you? Enlighten me. What have I missed over my 61 years? Why is it totally cool to take a NATO country's country?
And if you don't care, that's an answer.
That's an answer.
That's a stupid answer, but it's an answer to just say, it doesn't bother me. I don't care. But it's you can't just say like, well, actually, it has a very strategic idea. Yeah, so does a lot of things. But it's not our country. To get it, we would have to take it. We would have to steal it. We would have to rob them. We would have to armed robbery them. It's like I. But it's again, if you don't care, that's the answer.
But it's also it's not a Russian territory. It's not a Chinese territory. It's a territory of a friendly nation that we're partners with in NATO. That in and of itself creates a buffer. So either that or they're not being honest. And it is about rare earth minerals or whatever other thing that they could use to make money off of. In which case, make that case and then offer a price. And if they don't want the price, then you say, all right, they didn't want to sell. I mean, that's how you treat allies. If you want to make a deal, you talk to them in private and you're like, hey, we really want to do this. What do you think? Would you guys be open to becoming a U.S. territory? Here's what it will do for you. We will give you this amount of money. We will give you these benefits. And in exchange, you're a territory of ours now, like Puerto Rico is. Like, that's how you, it's diplomatic. You don't just flex your muscles. Again, if that's the case, why can't, if I want to take your wallet, why can't I just beat you up? Glenn, because it's against the law, man. Because I'll go to jail for that.
Glenn says crickets. Glenn, that's very common. It's very common.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to say you guys are idiots. It's really hard to provide.
Or you're pusses, or you're the View, or you have Trump derangement syndrome. Lots of little clever-ish phrases. Yeah. But when you say, respond.
Tell me why you're right. It should be easy. I'm sitting here telling you why I think I'm right. And I'm using historical references. I'm talking about international diplomacy, the way that it has worked, and it's the reason we are the most powerful country in the world. Because we don't just go take stuff. We did at a time in the past. That was 200 years ago. We have a history of doing things like that. But we are also a part of tearing down the British Empire by breaking away from it ourselves. Colonial rule is not the right way to go. I think we would all agree that now in the modern world, that's not acceptable. It was part of history. That's how things worked because there was no other way to do it, really. You didn't have the sophisticated systems. You didn't have the easy travel, the easy communication, the relationships built up. You know, at different times in the world, everybody was much more isolated. So if you wanted something, you went and fought for it. And by the way, a lot of that was terrible. They were bad ideas. Why do we want to do something that's a bad idea? Do you want to lose allies? Do you want to go it alone? Do you think that's a good idea? And it's not that we're at that point now. We're nowhere near that point now. But you don't want to set the precedent that that's what you're becoming. Do you want to be China? Do you want to be Russia? I don't, because I think our success has come from not being that.
Earl says the point is to posture to China and Russia. I don't think Trump will actually take Greenland by force and probably wouldn't be for it.
You're reading his mind then, Christian. What did he say? What are his people saying? And Russia and China aren't stupid. This mentality drives me crazy. We're sending them. You think they're idiots? Do you think they're a bunch of morons that are going to go, uh-oh, they're talking about using force in Greenland. We better watch our step. They don't care.
Also, let's assume you're right.
For God's sake, man.
Let's assume you're right. I'm completely not okay with it. As a U.S. citizen, I am not okay with trying to posture to our adversaries by threatening our allies. Full stop.
Yeah, real fair. But again, this idea that we have to, quote, send messages to China and Russia. My God, do you know how much we all spy on each other? Do you know how much the major powers spy on each other? You're not fooling them. We do business with China. Do you really think that we're sending them any kind of special message by doing what we did in Venezuela or by talking about Greenland? No. You know what we're telling them is, go ahead and take Taiwan. We're not going to do anything about it. That's what you're telling them. That's the message they're receiving. Because this idea that they only understand power. No. They're not idiots. I understand that's kind of a trope, and it may be true to a degree. But they're also very smart people who do things differently, and they're authoritarian, which is why we don't get along with them. Which is why Americans shouldn't want our people to be doing things that authoritarians do. We don't have to call our people authoritarians to say that those types of actions are the actions of authoritarians. Just do what you want without permission. You just go around Congress. You make threats to allies. Like, these are things that they should not be normal. And even if you agree with the policies of the administration, that's fine. This is not what we're talking about. And you want to disagree with that, that's how you have to disagree. You have to make the case why it's good. Not just say, you guys don't know. Tell me what you know that makes it right. What makes it right? What makes it right, as you put it, Dave, to threaten an ally nation, even if it's just kind of a loose, tongue-in-cheek threat, like, well, we won't take it off the table. No, you should say, no, we're not gonna use our military to take Greenland. Come on, guys, that's stupid. We're gonna try to work through diplomatic channels to try to make that happen. That's what normal people do. I don't think it's that hard. You know, again, Christian, you keep making statements, but you offer no information. I think our foreign policy is much better. How? How are we looked at in the world? How are we doing in terms of trade? How are we doing with the relationships with our allies? Do our allies across Europe like us more or like us less than they used to? And again, it's not about popularity. You know, you get what I'm saying. I'm talking about their political stance towards us, their ideas. How are they looking at us with the side eye now going, why are they talking about Greenland? What are they doing? You maintain relationships.
Matthias says, blah, blah, blah. We get it. You hate Trump. Go to commercial. Move on. Shut up, Matthias. You move on.
Bring something to the table instead of an insult.
Yeah.
Make a case. Make an argument.
Not
that hard.
Not liking Trump is not an argument.
No.
And it's not an argument.
And liking him is not enough either.
Exactly.
Make the case.
Exactly.
If you don't want to make a case, pipe down. I'll fight all day. You guys know. I will go back and forth all day.
He's not kidding.
But there's no fight when you're just like, duh, you guys are dumb. No, I'm not saying that you guys are dumb. I'm saying this policy makes no sense. Here are historical references as to why. Here's why we are as powerful as we are. Because the world works with us.
Matthias's Facebook picture is an eagle with Trump hair.
Mazel tov.
All right. I think that maybe says all we need to know about Matthias.
Bot says what? I mean, come on, man. Why do you think, zoom out. Why do you think we won the Cold War instead of Russia? Now, there are a lot of individual things. There are a lot of factors. The bigger picture factor is, nobody liked what Russia and what the Soviet Union was doing because what they were doing was wrong. They were forcing nations to join. They were taking over nations after World War II. That's what the whole Eastern Bloc was, the Iron Curtain. A lot of those countries didn't want to be a part of that. They didn't have any choice. We win that battle because we worked with all of the other countries that agreed that that's not good. Because the world was on our side. In the Cold War. Right? I mean, and not on our side. We were leading the world, which is what we want to be. We want to be the leader. When you're leading in a good way, people stay with you. That builds strength. It builds economic strength. It builds military strength. You have allies. Why would you want to counter that idea? Because it's how we got to where we are. Yeah.
Thanks for the lively conversation, debate, argument there. Moving on. We have the focus of the skating world is on St. Louis this weekend, and Mark Schreiber, who is the president of the St. Louis Sports Commission, joins us now. Mark, good to talk to you again. Say hello to Kevin Wheeler.
What's up, Mark? How you been?
Hey, Wheels. It's good to talk to you, Dave, and the whole group. Thanks so much for having me on.
How far back do you guys go?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how old you were, Mark. You were pretty young, but it's probably 17, 18 years.
Whenever you started at the sports, town, it would have been that.
Yeah, 2006.
Very cool.
Late 06, yeah.
I've been at the Sports Commission since 98. So
I've got
to beat a little bit.
It's 19 years then.
Man, oh man, talk about a long career. Geez, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
We're all in that boat, pretty much.
Yeah, we're old.
Yeah, and you know,
yes.
I know, Mark, we've talked a lot on Sports Open Line over the years or in person or whatever, and obviously you've been on with Tom a million times. Explain everybody like what the work that you guys do, because when you see these big sporting events come to town, whether it's the U.S. Championships for figure skating or it's an NCAA event for wrestling or basketball or whatever, I mean, that's what you guys do, is you guys put this stuff together.
Exactly. We're always looking for those high profile, high impact, high value events, and we're the ones that go out and do the bids to get them to St. Louis. And then once we've got them here, we produce the event. So we're the local hosts. U.S. Figure Skating, their staff will do a ton of work this week. They've got much of it covered, but we fill in so many areas. And, you know, we're responsible for everything from the ticket marketing to the volunteers to the shuttles, on and on and on.
Very cool. So tell us about the weekend. What's going on?
So it's a heck of a week for St. Louis. We've got 5 days of competition coming up, and this is the event that's going to decide the U.S. Olympic figure skating team. You're going to see the athletes that are competing in Milan right here in St. Louis, and come Sunday, the Olympic team will be announced for figure skating right at Enterprise Center.
Very cool.
Yeah, and there are not that many opportunities where you're going to see this caliber of
anything
international athlete come yes. through your town.
Yes.
Yeah. And not only that, I mean, it'd be any year, it would be wonderful to host this. On top of it, it's an Olympic year. And the best part, I think, is that U.S. figure skating has so much momentum right now. Their level of success mm-hmm. is as high as it's been in a long time. We've seen a resurgence for U.S. figure skating. They have 3 of the 4 reigning world champions are Americans, and they're going to be right here in St. Louis. It's Ilya Malinin, who's on the men's side, Alyssa Liu on the women's, who you may have seen on 60 Minutes Sunday night, and a great story on her. And then Madison Chalk and Evan Bates are the world champions in ice dance, and they're incredible.
Mark, can you tell us a little bit, like, what has the energy been like at Enterprise as this event goes on?
It's, I think, over the next few nights, especially Friday night, when we get to the finals for the women, it's going to be incredible in there. We'll be close to filling up the whole venue Friday night. And I think especially when Alyssa Liu and Amber Glynn, kind of the two favorites, there's a few others who have podium chances. When they take the ice, it's going to be electric. And it's the same thing Saturday when Ilya takes the ice, and he's on a whole different planet as everybody else. So as that builds, you know, the energy in the venue really gets to be spectacular. But even tonight and tomorrow, it should be special at the building.
Talking to Mark Schreiber, who's the president of the St. Louis Sports Commission. Mark, anything you want to tease coming up in 2026?
So we go right from doing the figure skating championships to the NCAA basketball first, second round. So we've got that back for the first time. Oh, going back to 2016, because we were supposed to host in 2020 and the pandemic took care of that. But it's great for us to have March Madness back and be in the rotation for that. And then the BMW championship is here next summer out at Belle Reve, and then we have the NCAA Wrestling Championships in March of 2027, and we're in the midst right now of a bunch of bids for future events. So the good thing is this does not stop. It keeps going, and it's great momentum for our region and especially for downtown St. Louis.
Mark, how many people do you guys think will be coming in from out of town for this kind of event? I mean, I know a lot of us here in town will take advantage of having this opportunity, but these types of events, and whether it's these or NCAA events, things along those lines, will always be bringing in a large group.
Yeah, and one of the things I love about the figure skating championships, it hits on kind of everything we want. It's something that can excite locals, but it also has great economic impact, and it brings a lot of people from out of town. We'll probably have the number I've been saying is about 5,000 visitors coming into St. Louis. And the great part of that is many of them are here for a full week because it's a 7-day event. We have the novices and juniors competing at Centene Community Ice Center Monday and Tuesday. So it's a week-long deal, and that only helps in terms of the impact that the event has on the community. And I also find our all-session ticket sales were really good, did far better than previous cities, and that tells me we have a lot of diehards from around the country coming in for the event.
Cool, great. Brother. Thanks for your work, man. We appreciate it. Open door anytime you want to be on the show. Thanks.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. It's great talking to all of you.
Talk soon, Mark.